Hello and thank you for listening to Shofar Armana's Sermon of the Week. We hope you enjoy this message and that it will inspire you in your walk with God.
Hallelujah. Father, we thank you this morning that we can lift up your name in this place, Lord, over our lives. We thank you, Lord, for your kingdom that is here. Thank you for your presence, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for the place where we can worship you this morning, Father. Won't you just take your hand and put it onto somebody next to you? And just for a moment, bless them. Will you do that? Just say, Father, I ask that you bless him. I ask that you bless her. If you know the name of the person, if it's a family member, let's just for a moment pray for each other that we'll be open to receive the word of God. Father, we thank you for the freedom we have in Jesus to come to you, to worship you, to bless each other. Thank you, Lord, for your presence. Thank you for your peace. Thank you for your heart. We just honor you, Lord, in this place, God. Amen. I wanted to say you may be seated, but you are already seated. Thank you, Ben, for the worship. And we're going to try to be short. When they said short, I thought they spoke about the length of the preacher this morning and not the length of the sermon. But it's great to have you here. Is there anybody from outside the Western Cape? Gautengers, Bloemfontein people, Free State people, welcome, yeah, on holiday. And you're more than welcome to invade our space here in the Western Cape. You are guests, so we just want to trust that you enjoy your holiday and have a great time of rest, but not a rest away from God. Amen. Sometimes people say, I'm going to rest, but they sort of switch off. They don't read the scriptures. You can only rest in God if you're a Christian. Amen. You can only spend time with him so that he can tell you, because each one of us, we need a word for this year coming. You know, it's sometimes going to be more difficult. We always say, God, just prosper me, or God, take away the tough times. But it's God's shalom peace is inside of the challenging times. That's when he speaks and he releases his peace over your life. That's the moments when he sort of just tells you that he is in charge and he is in faith. He is very faithful. I've got a question for you this morning. If somebody walks up to you, say you're walking on the road and there's somebody on the other side of the road and they're walking with somebody else and they say, look, there is, and that's not you, they're looking to you, they're pointing to you. There is Patricia, maybe that's your name, and now they put a definition on you. They have to put a definition on you. Patricia, the daughter of Patricina, or whatever, yeah? What your mother's name was. But I wonder what would people say. So I want you to turn to somebody next to you and quickly tell them, what do you think if two other people are walking on the other side of the road, one of them knows you, the other one doesn't, and that person looks to you and looks at you, points a finger and say, hey, look, there is somebody. What do you think that person would say about you that would put definition on your life, or that would define you or put you in a certain area? Quickly turn to somebody and tell them, what do you think they would say about you? Okay, so sure, some of you have got long answers. The son of this, I don't know if you read that first scripture. Sometimes in some of the, in the Bible it says he's the son of this, of the son of this, of the son of Bealtiel, of the son of Zerubbabel. Then he goes like, oh, but you know, whatever that answer would be, it would either be in context of relationship, or it would be context of what you have done or achieved or where you come from. If it's somebody that's in relationship that would probably know you, would say that was the son of, or that person came from that place. So we all have a sort of a worldly definition in terms of relationship or in terms of what we've done. And so I want us to look at what the Bible says about Jesus, and we go to John chapter 1, and it's something that if you're a Christian here today, and if you know Christ, you're going to need to get used to this context in which John the Baptist puts Jesus. And I wonder, he could have said a lot of things about Jesus, but this is what he says in John chapter 1 verse 29. He says, the next day John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, behold, he says, watch, look this one. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, after me comes a man who is preferred before me, for he was before me. And then verse 35, the next day John stood with two of his disciples, and looking at Jesus as he walked, he said, behold, the Lamb of God. Now John the Baptist was the prophet that sort of was the bridge builder between the Old Testament and the New Testament. And to put it in context, for 400 years, the prophets did not speak. It was like a dry season. There was really nobody speaking the word of God. The Bible says there was a famine for the word of God. And so a famine is a dryness. It means that people were desperate because people were looking to their own ways. For generations, people were saying, we don't need God. We don't want anything to do with God. And yet, John the Baptist, that sort of introduces Jesus, he talks in this concept or this context of the Lamb of God. And the first time he sees him, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. What a definition to put on Jesus. Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. For you and I today, when we look at Christ, when we have a reference to him, all of us would reference him in a certain way. Maybe you're sitting here and you're in a desperate situation in your life and you say, oh, Lord, help me with this. Or Lord, or maybe you want God to prosper you. Or there's a lot of ways in which you would, and I would maybe say today, behold, look at Jesus, and then we put a definition to Christ. But the first definition in the New Testament and the last definition in the New Testament refers to Christ as the sacrificial lamb. And that means that for you and I, if we want to have a relationship with God, we're going to need to make a peace with this context in which the Bible puts Jesus, is in the terms of sacrifice. It's in the terms of laying down, the terms of, hey, I am serving a God much bigger than me. You know, in the Old Testament, for the kids, there was a time when the Jews were taken out of Egypt, out of slavery, out of the world. And in that time, they had to take a little lamb, and then for 14 days, they inspect that lamb and make sure that that lamb had no blemish, had no spot, had no wrinkle. And then after 14 days, they had to sacrifice that lamb. I can just imagine what a terrible time it was, especially for the kids. Now, I grew up on a farm here in Caledon, not far from here, the greatest city of Caledon, okay? And I remember we had a lot of lambs in the house because the mothers would die or something would happen. And then we would sort of feed these lambs and they would grow up, you know. And then we'd give them milk and we'd like, and they'll become. And then my parents would always say, some or other time would release them, you know. Now they have to go out there. They never told us that later that lunch would probably be the lamb that we ate, you know. They just kept that away from us, you know. So we always, as we drove with the bucky or wherever we'd go, we'd say, oh, yeah, these lambs always had names, you know, but we never referred to them when we had the lunch. But we always said, oh, they're probably walking there, you know, when we're still very small. And you get so attached to those lambs as you would feed them, as they would grow up sort of in the house. But, you know, for the Jews, right in the middle of the deliverance, they had to take this lamb and then they had to slaughter the lamb and put the blood on the doorpost of the house. And then the angel of death would pass over and nobody would get killed in that home. So we always think in terms of this was such a nice experience, but it wasn't a nice experience. It was quite an intense one for a family that would inspect a lamb, would grow up a lamb in their homes. But you know, if we look at God's heart, if we look at where God comes from, he had to sacrifice his own son. He had to give the best for us, and it was sinless, spotless, a spotless lamb that was slaughtered. And that's why part of our worship in eternity will be for Jesus as the lamb. And we're going to look at that scripture now because we as Christians, we cannot walk away from the part of sacrifice. the part of suffering. And I want to encourage you, maybe this past year you've gone through tough times. Maybe there was somebody in your family that died. Maybe there's stuff or questions that you've asked God and he didn't come through, or prayers that didn't come through. But it's in those moments of that suffering, it's where you bring that sacrifice. Are you going to bring it as a sacrifice to God? Now remember, there was a student there in Stellenbosch that we sort of built a relationship with. That was in the church in Stellenbosch, and he was going to get married, and he died in a car accident. And it was one of the most terrific, terrible things that ever happened to me personally, because I knew, I remember his name was Sabron. He would come one evening and it was raining, and he would stand in the door, knock on the door, 11 o'clock, and I opened up the door. I said, "Sabron, what are you doing? You're crazy, you know?" And then he would just stand in the rain and he would say, "Sias, I want to tell you I love you." And I was just like, okay, you know, and then he would close the door and you go again. And 2 months later, I think it was 3 weeks before his wedding, he died in a car accident. It was something I couldn't picture. It was outside of my frame of reference. Because you know what, especially as charismatic people, we like to pray and then breakthrough. And you know what, when the breakthrough doesn't come, sometimes we get offended with God. But there's some stuff that happens in our lives that God wants us to have as a seed. Now, I've had the privilege to go to the Middle East a lot. And I remember one day standing in the nation of Iran, and we were just spending time with these precious family. We're sort of hiding away because there you cannot have public church like we have today. And this family, their pastor was in jail, I think, for 3 months already. Now, most of the pastors in Iran is in jail or either has been killed. And that's where lots of our Christian family is today in the Middle East, under great persecution. And so this lady I was talking to her, and I was saying, "Hey, this must be very terrible that your pastor is in jail." And she said to me, no, it's not so terrible because he's been starting to preach the gospel that is diluted from the West. So it's good for him that he's in jail. So he can stay there for a little while longer so that God can just purify him." And I was standing there, I was thinking like, "Lady, I don't want you to pray for me. You know? I want to go home, you know." But I was so shocked by the reference that sometimes we place Christ in. We say, "God, you are actually here to serve me." We come and we say, that's what we sometimes do. We say, "God, you are here to serve me. God, you're here to make my life better. And as long as you make my life better, do you know what? I'll come to church and I will do this and I'll be a nice Christian." But God is not looking for good people. God is looking for believers. God is looking for worship. And your life and my life is about worshiping God. It's about giving everything. God does not understand anything else but 100% surrender. Can I get an amen? Is it? Why is it so quiet in here? Okay. Let me read. And I'm so glad that there are people in this church that can hear the voice of God, because I want to read the next scripture. It's already been read in the offering. "God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in times past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds." Isn't that amazing? If you understand the book of Hebrews, it's a lot about sacrifice. It's a lot about this concept of Christ being the Lamb of God, being the perfect sacrifice and being the perfect high priest. But you know what? He says, in the last days, God has spoken in one way. His final word to the earth is his Son. Sometimes what we do is we run around and we say, "Oh Lord, let that guy prophesy over me. Lord, I want a new this, I want a new that, I want a new breakthrough." And scripture is very clear on it. There's nothing new. Don't look for the breakthrough when we serve God, when Christ has already given us his Son. And he says that is his final word. His final word is Jesus Christ. And that's why we have the Bible. That's why we can say, "God, I want revival in my life." How many of you want God to revive you? How many of us want revival in our country, in South Africa? We all want that. But you know what revival means? Revival means to revisit, to revision, to see what God has already done. It's when we come to the cross. And my challenge to us today, maybe you are a Christian here, or maybe you're not a Christian, but But if you are not in awe of the cross of Jesus Christ, then you have lost your first love. If you don't marvel at the fact of what Christ has done, then we've lost that passion in our hearts for Him. Because we become professional Christians. We become good people. And God has sent His word. God has sent His final word. And that word is Jesus Christ. It's the word made flesh that came to dwell among us. Can you say amen this morning? Okay. It says here in verse 3, who being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person and upholding all things by the word of His power, when he had by Himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. What an amazing thing if you and I realize that your purpose here is to worship God, is to glorify Him. Are you willing to do that in 2017? Are you willing to do that and say, God, my life here is to worship You? It's not to get things from You. It's not to be a nice person in my community. My life's purpose is to worship Him. That everything in me would bring glory to Him. So that when people walk on the other side of the road, what do they say about you when it comes to Christianity? Do they say, oh, there goes the lukewarm Christian. Oh, there goes the guy who sometimes goes to church. Or does it say that guy offends me sometimes because he just speaks about Jesus all the time? But you know what? And it doesn't mean we need to be radical for the sake of radical, but do people actually know that you are here to glorify Him? Can they see that in your lifestyle? Can they see that in your and my way that we talk to each other, that we talk about God? Because there's nothing secret about Christianity. There is nothing hidden about Christianity when it comes to the things of the world. Are you with me this morning? Okay, we're just warming up. This is the part of the introduction. The other guy, the other day, preacher said, we finish, but we never stop. So I'm going to finish now. Okay. In verse 1, Revelation 5, I want to leave us with the scripture. And if you have time over the next week or so, please read it. Because this is the picture of what is going on in heaven. This is the picture of worship. This is the picture of who God is. And it specifically talks about at the end there where it's a lot about the Babylon and the world that has been overcome. But in verse 1, it says, and I saw in the right hand of Him who sat on the throne a scroll written inside and on the back sealed with 7 seals. And then I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the scroll and to loose its seals? And no one in heaven or on the earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll or to look at it. We have a dramatic scene in heaven. There is a massive scroll and nothing can go ahead before somebody opens up the scroll. But there's this moment of like, uachona machantas, uachona. It's almost like, if we can put it in worldly terms, you're on an accident scene, there's an ambulance, somebody's busy dying, or the ambulance is not there, you know the ambulance is coming, but somebody is dying in your arms. And you're waiting for the doctor to arrive to the scene, onto the scene, and you realize that every second counts. Every moment is now important. And this is sort of the tension in heaven. Because somebody must open up the scroll where the names is, and there's a lot of stuff that needs to happen. And verse 4, and listen to the writer John, who was exiled to Patmos. They tried to kill him. They tried to burn him in oil, but they couldn't. So eventually they exiled him to Patmos, to the island, and there he wrote the book of Revelation. Verse 4, so I wept much because no one was found worthy to open and read the scroll or to look at it. So suddenly he feels this intense, deep agony and anguish because there's no one in heaven, on the earth, not one person sitting here. Nobody can bring the purpose of God to pass. But one of the elders said to me, do not weep. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has prevailed to open the scroll and to loose its 7 seals. And I looked, and behold, in the midst of the throne and of the 4 living creatures, and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb as though it had been slain, having 7 horns and 7 eyes, which are the 7 spirits of God sent out into all the earth. Okay, this is a bit dramatic, but you can see in the middle, as he looks, he sees the figure of a lamb. And then he came and took the scroll out of the right hand of him who sat on the throne. And now when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the lamb, each having a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. So imagine this picture. So right in the middle of this worship are these elders sitting on the thrones, and they have these harps and this worship, and they have these bowls carrying with them. It's their prayers. The prayers of the saints. Do you know that every prayer you pray, it's banked up in heaven? Every prayer that you have prayed in this year and that you will be praying, maybe it's for loved ones, maybe for people around you, God numbers those prayers. And they're full of these massive bowls that sometimes they fall over, Scripture says in Revelations, before the presence of God, so that God begins to act on them. And listen to this. And they sang with a new song, saying, "You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth." And then I looked and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne, the living creatures and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing." Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea and all that are in them, I heard saying, "Blessing and honor and glory and power be to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever." And then the four living creatures said, "Amen." And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped him who lives forever and ever. What a picture of what is happening in heaven right now. I can just imagine the elders taking their crowns and throwing it before the throne of God and falling on their faces. So you and I must begin to practice that, okay? Every day, just like fall down and say, "God, I thank you. From dust to dust, thank you, Andries, for cleaning the carpet here." Okay? Elvin. But the amazing thing is, you know, we need to practice that, because this is what is happening in heaven. And it's happening over and over, because when you see God, do you know what happens? You never get tired of saying the same words. "Holy, holy, holy. Worthy is the Lamb to receive power and riches and glory forever and ever." You know, if we sing a song, like maybe we sang the first song and we say His love endures forever, and we sang it like 10 times, then most people would say, "Okay, that's boring. Go on to the next verse. That's boring. Just, you know, don't sing the same thing over and over," except some African pastors, and I love the churches up here in Africa, because they would sing the same song for 5 hours and not be bored by that, you know? And just go, any Africans here? All of you are Africans. Come on, raise your hands, you know? We're South Africans, praise God. Okay, so, but the amazing thing is, here in heaven, they don't get bored about who God is and what God reflects. So forever, we're going to sing the same songs. We're going to not need a new song. Because, you know, every second week we want to buy a new CD because we're bored with the old one. But in heaven, you don't get bored, because God is glorious. He's almighty. "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, the one who was and who is and who is to come." You know, how easily do you and I not get bored with God? Or do we want a new thing? And the only reason for that is because we get so comfortable in the world. We get so attracted to the things in the world, because they are attractive to our flesh. But when you see God, when you behold the Lamb of God, then something begins to change. The Holy Spirit takes your spiritual eyes, and you and I can begin to see Him for who He really is. I remember being in Iran and standing out. We were at this place in the southern parts where the Christians are really, really persecuted. And so this, we were standing the evening, and as normal, we would say, like, we would go in there and we would like think like, "Yo, your prayers are going to change people." And so we were, We were sitting and I was thinking like tomorrow we've set out the whole morning just to pray and to intercede and to bring the strongholds down so that the kingdom of God can come, you know, and so really psyching ourselves up because you know what? We know how to pray. We know how to intercede because we took a lot of intercessors with. And I remember that evening, that was before the next morning, the Lord said to me, tomorrow you are not going to pray with your words. You're going to pray with your tears. And I thought like, okay, that sounds nice. And I remember this the next morning. So now we're in this room. Everything is locked up. The doors are closed. And there's a lady that doesn't understand English. She's been there waiting. She's been fasting for 21 days to get baptized. Because there, if you get baptized, that's the end of your life. You've signed your death certificate. So for 21 days, she's been fasting for the privilege of getting baptized. And so she's just sitting in the corner of the room. And the moment when we just started to worship, now she doesn't understand English. She just begins to cry. Just tears down her eyes for the privilege of being in the presence of God. And immediately I realized, hey, Lord, I'm boxing you into a couple of nice songs. I'm boxing you into think that your presence is about a couple of nice things I say. And I remember we were like three lines into the song, and the next moment this big guy that was with us on our team I never thought that this guy would cry. He just started to weep uncontrollably. And I'm sitting there and I'm thinking like, everything in my head says now, keep yourself in. Focus. You're here to pray. You know how men can do that? Come on, men. You know, we just like maybe we'll cry a little bit of a tear, but not like breaking, you know. And there's a lot of people here, so why would you do that? But I remember the presence of God coming into that room, and we were about 12 or 14 people, and we just started to weep. And we wept for 3 hours. Because for the first time, we saw God, and we felt His heart for that nation. And we realized that it's so easy to control God. It's so easy to control the Holy Spirit. Where we are in control of what our prayer meetings should look like, what our family, what our service, what. Because it's easy to control God if you're in control. But if He's in control, there's no stop. I've been in China and you sit there with a worship service and there are 3,000 people. And I remember it took us 3 hours to get there. So we walked up this stairs and we're going into this place and I'm still talking to the guy next to me and I'm saying to him, but this is a worship service, but I don't hear any songs. This soundproofing must be amazing here in China. You know, this is amazing. They're hiding the people here. This is great. He said to me, no, it's not soundproofing. So we walked up and there was a massive hall on top of the third floor of that place. And as we walked in, everybody, about 3,000 people were lying on their faces, weeping. But not saying a word. And they worship for an hour and a half. Because worship is not about the words we say or the nice tunes we have. Worship is all about your heart. Worship is about whether you've seen the Lamb. Behold the Lamb of God. If Jesus would walk in here today, would you say, behold the Lamb of God? Would you recognize Him? Would you know Him? Not because He's a religious person. Not because He's done some nice things. He's just something we add to our life or we add to our religion. Or we just have a nice religion because South Africans are Christian. It's because He's the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. The only one. The only religion that guarantees forgiveness of sin. But that means you and I have to come to worship Him on His terms. That means you and I have to come to surrender because He's looking for your heart, sir. He's not looking for your nice songs. He's not looking for your bank check. He's not looking for the stuff you can give Him or a place from where you and I can sit in our comfort zone and then tell Him how our lives should look. I remember being in Uganda and this pastor came to me and he said to me they were fleeing into the mountains and just praying in the mountains. They had nothing, so they're just sitting in the mountains. And then after 40 days of fasting and praying, the Lord asked him, He said, John, do you think that I need counsel? That's not God asking him. He said, God, no, you don't need counsel. You are God. And the Lord said to him, John, do you think that I need counseling? Do you think I need people's advice? audibly, eh? And he said, no, God, there's not. You don't need counsel from anybody. And the third time, God asked him again, John, do you think I need counseling? He said, no, God, 100% sure. And then the Lord said to him the following, but John, every time when you come to me in prayer, you tell me what I must do, when I must do it, and how I must do it. Don't you think you're counseling me? He said his life changed. He stopped counseling God. And his life became a life of surrender and worship. More than just supplication and asking and telling God what to do and how God must come through for him. And what God must do in 2017. Instead of just surrendering. Are you willing to live that life of a true Christian? Behold the Lamb of God. The one who was, the one who is, and the one who is to come. And unless you've seen him, you cannot give that surrender, because then you're going to just give nice stuff. Unless you've seen what Christ has done on the cross, unless you've heard God's final word to humanity, and things are going to change, and it's probably not going to get easier in the next year. But once you've seen the Lamb of God, once you've come to that place of surrender, there's no other place where you want to be. That's his life. That's his invitation to you and I. And you know, most of the church in the world today, they're living at that in that space. Except the church in the West. The church in the West, and that's where I got saved, as I said to this teacher, I said, Mr. Smith, the Jesus that you serve and the Jesus that I serve is not the same Jesus. The Jesus that I serve is a Jesus of my own making. It's a false Jesus. It's not the Jesus of the Bible. But you know, the amazing thing is God invites you and I to come to just surrender today. To behold the Lamb. To say, God, open the eyes of my understanding in this year. I want to hunger. I want to thirst for you. I want to see you for who you are. Not for what I say about you when you would walk on the other side of the street. And Jesus asked his disciples in Matthew, he said, Peter, who do the people say I am? And some said Elijah, some said you're a prophet, some say. And then Jesus turned around and he said, but Peter, who do you say that I am? And I love Peter's answer. He says, you are the Christ. You are the Son of the living God. You are the Christ. You are the Son of the living God. So I want us just to read this part in Revelation 5, and then we're going to end. I want you to read it, verse 13. Can you just throw it on there? Just the last previous scripture, previous slide. Okay. It says there, go to the previous one, verse 12. I want us to read this together from verse 12. Will you read this with me? Saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor, and glory, and blessing. Let's read that again. It just says, worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. Will you stand with me this morning as we're going to end this service by asking you to be very bold this morning. Because there may be different groups here. Maybe you've come with somebody and they sort of forced you to come and say, you will come to church, and you don't actually want to be here. But all I want to tell you is God has got an appointment with you today. It's not your friends or your family that brought you. It's the living God. And isn't it amazing about God's love and about God's invitation? Is God will never force himself on you. But you and I know that there's only one that can forgive the sins of the world, that was sinless, that can make that claim. Either Jesus was a lunatic, or he was the Son of God. Either everything he said was true, or it was all a lie and a fake. You cannot be in between. You know, not even his own brother believed him while he was on earth, but once he got resurrected, his own brother became the head of the church because suddenly he saw that his brother was the Son of God. Now, I don't know what your perception is of God, or if Jesus would walk by on the other side of the road, what would you say? Behold, Behold, the one who didn't answer my prayers. Behold, the one who didn't bring breakthrough. Maybe you're offended here today and you just think like, church, I want nothing to do with church. But you can't run away from God's church. It's his body. God loves the head and not the body. But you know, the invitation for you today is not to come to church. The invitation today is not to do a nice prayer and go on with your life. The invitation is, are you beholding the Lamb of God? Are you seeing him for who he is? Are you worshiping him? Are you taking the biggest sacrifice and saying, God, I don't deserve it, but you know what? I want forgiveness of my sins. Maybe you've messed up in the past while in your life. Maybe you've run away from him because you think he's the old man with the stick up there that is just sin conscience. He's not. He's you conscience. He's me conscience. Behold the Lamb, the one who is worthy to receive honor and glory and power and riches forever and ever. And his name is Jesus. And one day every knee is going to bow, every tongue is going to confess, behold the Lamb. Some are going to do it willingly and others are going to do it unwillingly. But every knee will bow and say, the Lamb of God, the one who is worthy to open the scrolls. And you know, in this time of rest, in this time, our prayer is that you will see him. But it starts by something, and it's very simple. It's called humility, where you realize that you can't forgive. You can't save yourself. It starts with a place where some of us yet today, we're struggling with sleeping. You're so anxious. You're so afraid. There's some of us here that are just so tense about life. We're so afraid. There's some people, the Lord showed me, they're struggling with depression, heavy heaviness. You don't even know why you're waking up every day. Behold the Lamb. He is worthy. Look to him. He will save you. He will deliver you. He will heal you. Behold the Lamb. Have you seen the Lamb? Are you looking to him? He wants to open your spiritual eyes again to see. Maybe you have been serving him and you have had a tough year, but just you need to see afresh. You need to see anew who he is. Because once you see him, everything else fades away. Once you connect with him, everything else goes. All your worries, all your anxieties. There's some of you that have got bags of cement on your shoulders and you're carrying so heavily. Or even some other friends of yours and other people. Some of you have got unanswered questions. Behold the Lamb that takes away. He doesn't remember. He takes away the sins. He doesn't hold it against you and accuse you like the devil does. He takes away. He takes away, removes the sins as far as the east is from the west. That's the greatest gift of all. It isn't a little boy in a manger. It's the forgiveness of sins. It's the fact that you and I can stand free and say, I'm forgiven. All the mess, all the nonsense I've done, I'm forgiven. I'm free from that accusation. I am free from unrighteousness. I was a mess. I was in darkness, but I am in light because I'm free. He's forgiven me. I'm set free by the blood of the one, the Lamb. And now in response, not because of obligation, in response of worship, I give back my life to him. I say, God, I've got no other answer. I've got no other place to go. Because you have the words of eternal life. And I want to worship you. I want to become a worshiper. So I'm going to ask you today, if you are not in a relationship with Jesus, I want everybody to quickly just close your eyes. If you're not in a relationship with Jesus Christ and you would like to behold the Lamb, you'd like your sins to be forgiven, or maybe you have been backsliding, you knew God, you were excited about him when you were in youth and all that stuff, but you've walked away. If that's you today, I want you, just where you're standing, I want you to raise your hand very high and say, that's me. Thank you, thank you. Anybody else, just raise your hand very high. Say, God, I want to behold you. I've got so many bags of cement on my life. I want to know you. I want to see you. Thank you, lady. Anybody else, just raise your hand very high. Don't be shy. He's not shy about you. He's come to save you. That's why we need a savior. Anybody else, just raise your hand very high and say, I want to start a new life. Maybe you've backslidden. Maybe you've been away. Thank you for those hands at the back there. I see all those hands. Maybe you've backslidden, maybe you've walked away. What a new day to just start today. Not because it's Christmas, just because Jesus is alive every day. Not because we have New Year's resolutions. Those things fade away within the first 3 weeks. It's because we've seen Him. We've beheld the Lamb. We've seen the Lamb of God. That's why we can start new. You can open up your eyes again. I'm going to ask people that are heavy laden, or first those people that raise their hands, I'm going to ask you to do something very bold, because you know what? There's nothing private about following God. It's about a public statement. And the reason why we come to the front and we call people to the front many times is just to say, hey, I'm making a statement that I'm walking away from my old life into Christ. I'm coming to meet Christ where He is. I'm not asking Him to come to my life. Some people say, I found Jesus. No, Jesus found you. He was not lost. You lost. I'm lost. I found Him. No, He's found you. He came looking for you when you were not looking for Him. And that's what He's come to do this morning. So if you are here today and you want to commit your life to Christ, as we're going to sing this song again. I don't know where the band is. Can we sing that one song? The last worship song then. I'm going to ask you to come to the front. And then we need to pray for some people. There are some people here, you are so anxious, you cannot sleep at night, you are heavy laden. Those bags of cement on your shoulders. You need God as a deliverer this morning. You need to cry out to Him. Say to Him, God, come and deliver me. That insomnia, that stuff that's bugging you, that's weighing you down, the heaviness in your heart. The Lord showed me there are 5 people here this morning that have got heart pains. You've got physical heart pains. You get a lot of heart pain, and especially in the last 2 or 3 weeks, there's just like this heart pain, and you're actually afraid of death. You're actually afraid of dying. I want to pray for you specifically, and we want to take oil and just anoint you and say, Lord, your life, we speak life. So I'm going to ask you to quickly come to the front. If you're one of those groups, either committing your life to Christ, or either you're just saying, I am so heavy laden, I need God to set me free. I need to behold the Lamb. Maybe you in cycles of sin or pornography or stuff that's bugging you and keeping you down, and you realize today that you're far from God. So don't go away without us praying with you and just laying hands on you and just coming in agreement. That's why the church is here. That's why Pastor Andres and Lise is here. We're not doing church to be nice. We're doing church because Jesus meets His people. Amen. So if you want prayer, just come out quickly. It's going to take a bit of humility. I want you to come. If God has been speaking to you, I want you to come. Because if you don't cry, if you don't hunger, we cannot receive. So quickly come. If God is speaking to you, sir, I want you to come. Don't care about the person next to you. They didn't die for you. They cannot save you. Won't you come quickly? Just come. If you need prayer, if you're heavy laden today, won't you just come? I'm going to wait for some people. Just come. If God has been speaking to you, God is there's the conviction of the Holy Spirit in your life, won't you just come? We're going to just minister to each other. I want you to step out. There's some people, those 5 people that's got heart pains, but there's also another group that I would like to pray for this morning, that we would like to pray for, is a group of people that are right now in your life, you have been asking God about your future. You are very frustrated where you are in this season of your life right now. There's a lot of stuff that has happened this year in your life, but you are very, very intensely wanting to know, what about my future? What's lying ahead? You're not satisfied with where you are, but there's a frustration. You know that it's God that's been working that frustration in your life. He's been allowing these things. And you've been asking Him, but He's not speaking to you at the moment because He wants your full attention. And we're not going to pray for an answer for you today, but we want to anoint you. We want to consecrate you so that you will listen when He speaks. You'll hear Him clearly. Don't run away. It's going to take some time, but you need to ask Him. If those people, if you would just come to the front as well, because we want to pray for you. It's stuff about your future. Stuff about the questions about where am I heading, and you're so frustrated with your work. God is providing for you. There's a lot of stuff happening in your life, but there's an intense battle inside, and it's God allowing it in your life. Why? Because he just wants you to speak to him. And we're going to ask that all the other voices would be quiet so that you'll hear him and you'll walk into this place. If those people, would you just come to the front quickly?
Is there maybe a lady here in your 54 or 56 year old with ear pain? That's just a thought that popped into my head. I believe God wants to heal you today. So anybody, if you're in your 50s and there's pain around your ear, if you maybe know that person, you can also come to the front. We'd love to. You can stand in the gap and we can pray for them.
Okay, we want some small group leaders. Even if I see lots of people from Stellenbosch and all over here. If you want to come and pray with us, just pray as we're going to just take some time. Or small group leaders here in Hermanus, I want to just pray with you. We're going to sing this song. So if you would just be so kind just to stand with us after that, Pastor Andres, we're going to dismiss the meeting, but we're going to still pray for people in front. So if you need prayer, don't go away without us praying with you or agreeing with people around you. And as just before we go, just one last thing, especially in this day, will you just take 1 minute before you leave to pray with somebody here and just say, hey, I want to see God. I want to ask him to open up my spiritual eyes. That's what Paul prayed for the Corinthians and the Ephesians. He says, I pray that the eyes of your understanding would open up, that you would see him, that you would know him. It was Paul's desire that I would know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to the image of his death. That was his desire, his heart's cry, to know God, to see him, to behold the Lamb. So if you would be so kind, just to take a minute to pray with somebody. There's coffee at the back, but we also, especially in front, that we don't chit-chat in front as we minister to people. So Father, we thank you for that freedom to come to worship you today. Thank you for this amazing church. Thank you for people that has come here today. Open up our eyes. Thank you, Father. We take authority over every weapon that has been formed against your people, God. We thank you for freedom. Thank you that we break every chain. Thank you, Father, especially for these people that are in this frustrating time of their lives. Father, open up their eyes to see. Speak your peace. Release your peace, your shalom peace, Father. In Jesus' name.
Thanks for listening to this message. We hope you enjoyed this moment with us. For more information, visit shofaronline.org.